guys, this is Eric Young, and you're listening to Booking the Territory.
Hey, this is Ring of Honor Superstar Donovan Dijak, and you're listening to Booking the Territory Pro Wrestling Podcast.
This is a one-man gang. You're listening to Booking the Territory Pro Wrestling Podcast.
Welcome back to another episode of Booking the Territory Pro Wrestling Podcast. We are recording this on September the 7th, 2017, and tonight we're covering NWA World Championship Wrestling from May the 10th of 1996. And staying on topic of Jim Cornette and the Jim Cornette theme from the previous weeks, I pulled up a classic clip from last year when I interviewed Warbeard Hansen from War Machine, where he was talking about the first time he worked with Jim Cornette at Oklahomania in 2016. And also in relation to Oklahomania, I'm going to be talking to Jerry Bostic again. This year's Oklahomania, real quick off the top, is going to be Saturday, October the 7th in Ardmore, Oklahoma, at the Hardy Murphy Coliseum, 7 p.m., I believe is the bell time. I'll give you some more information at the end of the show related to the card. It is stacked full of GFW stars, full of indie stars and whatnot. With that said, I'm here with Doc. I'm here with Harper. We're going to have a good time as usual. Doc, how you doing this week, man?
I am drunker than Jeff Jarrett at Triple Mania, pal.
What are you talking about?
Well, didn't you tell me that Jeff Jarrett was put on leave of absence by the Global Force Wrestling?
Yeah, I heard there was a leave of absence, but I don't know. Well, I mean, Dave, they said Meltzer, personal matters.
Meltzer's reporting today that the breaking point had to do with Jarrett's behavior at this year's Triple Mania. Jarrett was said to not be in shape for wrestling and stumble down the ring steps, doing little wrestling in his match. Ed Nordholm, EVP of Anthem Sports, was on the trip and made the call to remove Jarrett.
So he was drunk?
Yeah.
Well, he needs to go to the Tommy Rich school of getting drunk and working a match.
Or Dick Murdoch.
Or Dickie Murdoch. I mean, like Rod used to tell me, brother, you'd have never made it. Dickie would have ate you alive with all his drinking. But,
remember, Rebby said that he was tweeting her and texting her drunk late at night. So,
oh,
what?
So damn. So Dave Meltzer reported that. This is
Dave Meltzer.
Okay, you're telling me something I had no clue about. Wow. All right. I guess that's interesting. Okay. So let's
Fuck that owl.
Harper, how you doing? You all right?
Doing all right, bro. Sitting here living a dream.
Yeah, that's all you can do these days. Mm-hmm. Harper, You got a crazy Craigslist ad pulled up that you're going to introduce us to tonight. Compliments of Mike Lane on Facebook, who tweeted this or who posted this earlier for us.
If you play your cards right.
Well, go ahead. Let's get started with it. If you got it opened up and ready to go. Oh, you're not prepared.
Hold on, bro. My phone was charging. See? God damn, you see? You fucked it all up.
Let me cover for you for a second. So the title of this crazy Craigslist ad from Austin, Texas says, literally in quote, you know, the title, have over 400 gallons of regular gasoline willing to trade only. Now, for those who don't know, gas in the Dallas-Fort Worth and I think even Austin area where this is has been, I'm not going to say hard to come by, but you got every Jethro and fucking Billy Bob in the fucking DFW Metroplex who's filling up every goddamn container of gas they have. They're filling up their 4x4s. And it's leaving the little guys like myself who don't drive those big vehicles and who need to get gas. There's like lines and whatnot. Some of them have. There's still one, but my house still doesn't have gas. A Quick Trip. So this is relevant to this whole thing where there's supposedly there's not a gas shortage, but there's issues with gas and getting to keeping pace at the gas station.
How much is it there?
There's a gas
265.
Do I need to go get gas right now?
No. Let's not go there. All right, Hopper. You got it open, ready to go for us?
Yeah, let's go.
All right, go ahead.
I am blessed to have over 400 gallons of gasoline. I don't want money. I'm only looking to exchange up to 15 gallons for anal sex. Me giving it to you. Both men and women are welcome, but the men need to be very attractive, as that is not my preferred sex. That sounds all right, yeah. I will not wear a condom and use I will wear a condom and use organic lubricant. There will be no filming our photos. I don't want anyone else to know either, so let's agree to keep it hush. If you're interested, send pics so I know if it's worth it.
Jesus!
I just got 30 gallons. Jesus. I went twice.
Okay, so that was this week's Crazy Craigslist ad. Compliments of Mike Lane on Twitter. Thank you for, or Facebook. I keep saying Twitter. Thanks for sending it, Mike. That gave me a laugh today as soon as I saw that. It's insane. All right, shout out real quick. David DeVries, hit me up on Facebook or Twitter or wherever. I think you've reached your monthly mark as a Hall of Fame patron, and I owe you a BTT Pro Wrestling t-shirt. So get with me, man. And William Shepard and Tim Oreche, yours are on the way. So you should be getting them within the next week, I would assume. And everyone else, don't forget to check out the YouTube channel, tinyurl.com/BTTYouTube. I've loaded up a lot of exclusive content there, along with some older content that we had from years past. Just a bunch of stuff that hopefully you'll enjoy and some of the many memories you've had in listening to this podcast over the last couple of years. All right, y'all, let's get started. We're talking NWA. WCW, May 10th, 1986, sponsored by the Wrestling Palace. I want to thank them for sponsoring the show. Go to Facebook and search the Wrestling Palace. And if you need a wrestling memorabilia, whatever it is, contact Arturo there and he can hook you up. All right, Hawk. The opening of the show, we got the James Boys, who we saw last week, defeat the Midnight Express. They come out to save Sam Houston and Nelson Royal. And just as it appears the James Boys are about to hang Jim Cornette, they cut away. Any thoughts on the opening of the show?
I want to see the rest of it, man. I want to see if they hung him.
I think it's on Worldwide.
I should have asked Sam because I saw him because I see him like twice a week.
He's still coming. Oh, he's getting his workout in. He's getting ready for that comeback after 30 years, man.
Well, he did a run-in.
See, I told you.
At the Wildcats, Joe.
Was Rod with him or no?
Uh-huh. Both of them did.
I know Rod didn't do no damn running with his back.
Well, they saved Danny Flamingo.
You got to be kidding me.
Nope.
Oh, gee. Okay. All right. Well, interesting stuff there. So ask Sam next time you see him. But, yeah, I actually think I got it. It's on the Worldwide episode. I just got to look it up. But, Doc, any thoughts from the opening of the show?
Don't we see more of it later?
Yes, I'm. It's running together on me. Maybe I watched it on Worldwide, and I'm just not remembering. I watched it about 5 days ago now, so probably. All right, let's move forward. We got Shivani. David Crockett is still on assignment, but Ric Flair is in the house, Shivani says, and he's going to work again with the TV champ, Arn Anderson. And they give an update on the Great American Bash 1986 that is coming. From there, we go to a promo with Robert Gibson. Unfortunately, I don't have it pulled up right now, but I'm going to ask Doc your thoughts first, because all I had from this was, I love Robert Gibson, but this wasn't all that good.
Yeah.
Thoughts?
Well, he needs Morton.
Yeah.
There's a reason Ricky Morton was with him. Harper, what do you say?
I'm not Charlotte.
I'm gonna put something on you Ajax can't wash off.
Will you stop?
I'll put something on you Ajax can't wash off.
I hate to say it, but yeah, pretty much. Okay, so we go from Robert Gibson to Ronnie Garvin versus Maurice Cooper. Where in the fuck did they get Cooper from?
It's a debut!
Some guy in the audience is talking during the match, and he said, "Time up, Ronnie!" If I'm Cooper, I'm like, dude, shut the hell up. I do have a question for both of you. Well, Harper, you especially. You think Cooper was even trained?
Bro,
does it matter?
It did look, It did look awkward, and no, I don't think it does.
I don't think it matters. You're right. That guy looked bad, but Ronnie Garvin does a Cesaro spin.
Yeah, I know. Huh? I was shocked to see that.
Yeah, 30 years ago, we got a Cesaro spin on Saturday night. Go figure. Doc, your thoughts on this match before we move forward?
Well, like I said, does it matter if you're trained? Are you making any movements on your own, or are you just going where he tells you to go?
Very true. You're getting in there, and he's going to tie you up like a pretzel, and he's going to beat the piss out of you. I don't know how much training it takes. You're right.
We're just going to call it in a ring.
There was no calling from Cooper's side.
And then it cuts to the sound of a chest being slapped into submission. Thwack!
It's like just chopping down trees. Yeah, pretty much. Okay, we keep it moving. We got a promo up next. It's Manny Fernandez. I really don't have much from this either. Wow. Doc, I'll ask you.
Well, first of all, he goes way deep into the promo after he's like repeated himself a couple of times. He starts talking about saying no to drugs. I was like, Manny, I want to say no to this promo. It's like, again, if they would just give him 35, 40 seconds since they go out there, hit your shit, back up Jimmy Boogie Woogie, do your El Corazon, and get out. He just stays out there and he just starts repeating everything. And then why you got to tell kids not to do drugs?
Well, he was out there for almost 3 minutes. Go ahead, Harper.
Yeah,
that's a long time for him, man.
That's like
Hogan doing a fucking Iron Man match.
We know that's not going to work out well, right?
I
mean, let's be real. Yeah, that was a long time. What else you had from it, Harper?
And I didn't get to say no to drugs thing. And then I tried to look it up and see if there was a reason for this, maybe like an ad campaign or something, but I couldn't find anything.
That was a campaign.
Nancy Reagan shit.
No, but like with the NWA, like if they were
No, yeah, yeah.
Wouldn't that be just a tad bit hypocritical for the NWA to be anti-drug?
Say no to drugs, kids. 80% of our locker room is doing an 8-ball and smoking dope in the back. But don't do drugs. They're bad for you.
What's next? Are we going to get Ezekiel Elliott on the domestic violence commercials?
Yeah.
Pizza. Dinner ready is pizza. Bring those commercials.
Yeah. But no, that's all that was about. It had nothing to do with the NWA. It was just the whole deal with the Say No to Drugs campaign from the 1980s. I mean, I still remember those damn commercials repeatedly playing.
Just say no. Yeah, okay. That worked out well.
Yep. No.
Buff the magic dragon, bitch. Okay. We then go to Wahoo. Wahoo wasn't bad. I don't have it. The next one I have up is Dusty and Magnum. Doc, what were your thoughts on Wahoo right here?
Yeah,
that's what I said too. It's so hard for anyone not named Dusty, Magnum, Ivan, Rick, Tully. It's just an Arn. It's really hard in Ricky Morton. It's really hard for anyone not named those guys to really go out there and throw a promo out.
You think he's just from a different generation?
That's it.
I don't think he translates well to national TV in 1986. I think if you were watching this in the Charlotte studio in 1982 or 81, he'd be the biggest thing since smallpox.
Wow. Wow. Here's my take on Wahoo.
You forgot Pez Whiteley is poked through on that list as well.
That's true. Well, see, my take on Wahoo is, promo-wise, he may not shine through here in 86, but, I mean, when he gets in that ring and he starts chopping the piss out of people, he still shines through.
I don't want to fight him.
Well, that's my point. I mean, he's believable. I just, promo-wise, I can't. Anyway. All right. We go from Wahoo, and we're getting into some promos we're going to play in a second. So we go from Wahoo to Robert Gibson versus Dave Dillinger. Robert Gibson wins with a sunset flip.
Yeah, that was weird.
Yeah.
Very, very strange. Well, he wins with a sunset flip. And,
wasn't the Bulldog his singles finisher usually?
I know it was later on. I don't remember back then him working that much singles, so I just don't remember this, you know, him doing that sunset flip. But, you know, he won that way, and I guarantee you'll never see anyone ever again win with a sunset flip in wrestling. Okay, so now we're up to the very first promo that we're going to play, and it is Dusty Rhodes and Magnum TA. Here it is.
Fans, we're back at ringside with you on World Championship Wrestling. The response is for America's team. The American Dream, Dusty Rhodes, U.S. Heavyweight Champion, Magnum TA.
You know, I believe Jim Cornette is probably a man now that can tell you a little bit about pressure, because he got himself in a situation that all of a sudden he doesn't know how to handle. He thought it was real cute when he called out America's team, knowing we both weren't there. He thought it was real cute when he got the advantage to take advantage of a lady. Well, baby doll is a lady. And going after vengeance is something that I'm becoming very fond of. And now not only are you having problems with America's team, it seems the James boys come out of nowhere giving you a little bit of trouble too. Well, Jim Cornette, it's long from being over. We can talk about it all we want. But until you walk in that ring, when you deal with us, when you deal with all the pain, blues, and agony that we can dish out, and then baby doll gets her hands on you, the nightmare won't be over. And one little note from Nikita Koloff. Your game plan isn't working so well, is it? All the damage you're going to do to me in these Russian chain matches. Well, I have suffered a little damage, a little bit of pain, but I'm still standing here and I'm still holding on to this. Think about it.
You know what? He is so pretty, it's unreal. I be listening to him talk, be traveling down the road with him, I look at him, he's so pretty. Some lucky girl out there in television land someday, some way, this boy gonna be hung up, you're gonna get him, and that match gonna be somewhere made in heaven in this country. But Dusty Rhodes and Mac and Dream, baby doll, the perfect 10. Got to know now that her boy is gonna take care of business. Gonna take care of business. Magnum TA, Dusty Rhodes, the Midnight Express, Jimmy Cornette, you go home and ask your mama tonight what it's going to be like when the American Dream, Dusty Rhodes, and Magnum TA take the world tag team title from you. You have it no more. You have no more money. You have no more fame. You have nothing. But just what you got is a little bit of fame of us, or whoever they was, taking care of business.
Whoever they were. Okay, America's team, Dusty Rhodes, Magnum TA.
That was hilarious. Doc, you go first.
Magnum TA. Man, I thought it was weird. He was sitting there talking about Nikita not getting the job done while his head looked like it had been put through a wood chipper.
Fucking cheese grater.
Yeah. Quite, you know. But, yeah. Again, really effective promo from Magnum, where he hits two different angles that he's involved with. And then, you know, I'll let you guys talk about Dusty, but Dusty's just sitting there chilling and,
Jesus,
you know,
Christ,
leaning there, probably high as balls and Saturday morning and just, you know.
I immediately thought of Harper when Dusty was sitting there, the way he looks with them damn fucking yellow frame glasses and the skull jacket tied around his goddamn neck like some kind of preppy boy or some shit. I was like, Harper sitting at home watching this going, Jesus Christ. Go ahead, Harper. What did you think? Because you were laughing with me.
That shit was funny, man. Because I guess back then, Magnum would be a chick magnet with that mullet and that mustache.
That Magnum P.I. Tom Selleck, mm-hmm, just...
Yeah. That's all it was. I mean, he was a magnet back then. Dusty told him, he's so pretty. And did you see Magnum, like, kind of pop and had to hold the laughing?
Man, go find, if you're out there listening, go find your mom, your grandma, somebody who's about, I don't know, between 63 and maybe 70. And you bring up the name Tom Selleck, Magnum P.I. All of a sudden, she'll be wet down to her knees, man.
My mom fucking still loves Tom Selleck.
That's what I'm saying.
That's still he's on now. He's like a cop or something.
They all watch Blue Bloods, man. That and they all get together and talk about it, man. The old women in my family get together. Did you watch Blue Bloods the other night? He still looks so handsome.
You
you soggy bitch bitches. Come on now.
Nice.
Your fucking snatch is wet. Smelling like onions behind some Tom Sack.
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay.
So, Magnum's right in there. But, you know, that's the second time in the recent weeks that we've had a real rugged man's man call himself or another man pretty, because we had Robert Fuller say we're the prettiest things in Smoky Mountain not too long ago. So.
Hearing him say that, Jesus Christ. All right. Next matchup is Nikita Koloff versus Tony Zane. Of course, Nikita Koloff gets the win as Nikita screams, MAGA TA! MAGA TA!
That was way too understandable and legible from you.
Okay.
You need to get your lips further apart when you say that shit.
All right.
Don't let them
touch. After that, we get a promo. I'm going to ask both of your opinions, and then you'll tell me. Or Doc, I'll ask you first. Do you think we should play this? This Jim Crockett Jr. and Sandy Scott, our Smoky Mountain friend promo here?
I don't know, but I did. My first note was Sandy Scott with five exclamation points, because,
Of course. Hawk, what about you?
Go ahead.
Yeah, play it. Rock it
well,
out.
I just think
it gives you a sense of where they what the business was like in 1986 in the South.
Yeah. Right. And there's another one next week. I was actually watching it before we recorded this on next week's, where they talk a little bit more about the bash. But here it is. Let me play it. It's not that long.
Fans, I'm here with Jim Crockett Jr., president of Jim Crockett Promotions, and Sandy Scott, events coordinator for Jim Crockett Promotions. For weeks now, we've been telling you not to make your summer plans until you heard from Jim Crockett Promotions, because we have some exciting news. The momentum is building. The excitement is building toward the Great American Bash 86, and Jimmy Crockett, it's going to be great.
That's right, Tony. July is the month that America celebrates its birthday. Well, we're going to help make it the greatest birthday ever. The Great American Bash. We have rented some of the finest sports facilities throughout the United States. That's right, throughout the United States. And Sandy will tell you about the locations. But we're going to have the greatest birthday party ever for America, the Great American Bash.
Throughout the United States. And Sandy, he talked about you telling us some of the towns that will see the Great American Bash.
Well, first of all, Tony, you know, everybody wants to have family entertainment, bring their children out, sit down and relax and enjoy it. Well, we're going to give it to them. And we're going to start off on July the 1st in Philadelphia at Veterans Stadium. Then we go to RFK Stadium in Washington, D.C. Then we're going to go to Memphis, Tennessee, the Liberty Bowl. Then we're going to Charlotte, North Carolina, Memorial Stadium. We're going down to Atlanta. We're going to go to Cincinnati at Riverfront Stadium, Charleston, West Virginia at the Civic Center, Jacksonville, Florida at the Gator Bowl. I get excited just talking about these. It's going to be the greatest event that we ever had in wrestling. Also, we're going to Richmond, Virginia at the Coliseum, Johnson City, Freedom Hall, Fayetteville, North Carolina, Cumberland County Arena, Greensboro Coliseum, Norfolk, Virginia, Dallas, Texas, Houston, Texas.
The list goes on, but Sandy, we know it's the best in wrestling, but last year during the Great American Bash 85, there were fireworks, skydivers, country music entertainment, and I know this year, especially during the first one at Veterans Stadium, Joe Ely and Delbert McClinton are our special musical guests, but that's not all during the Great American Bash.
Wow, at some of the other ones, they're going to have great stars like Waylon Jennings, David Allen Coe, Jesse Colder, and George Jones.
It's the Great American Bash 86. Stay tuned, fans, because coming up in the weeks to follow, more information on the greatest summer event of all time, the Great American Bash 86. Coming your way, you can't afford to miss this.
Well, business must have been good back then. Doc,
I know,
first.
Huh?
Shit. Must have been a fun time, man. I wish I'd have witnessed it. I did, actually. But, Doc, God, what'd you think?
So they come to Dallas, but 86, Dallas isn't done being Dallas. I wonder what was the behind the scenes on that.
Wait, say that, what do you mean it wasn't done? You mean world class?
Well, maybe, you know, there was a group running here. I don't know exactly.
It was still world class.
Yeah, that was still world class.
Yeah, that was still Fritz.
So I wonder what Fritz was thinking.
Well, I mean, dude, by 86, you're well into the fucking national takeover. So, I mean, I don't, whatever. Yeah, I mean, good point. I mean, I hear you there. He probably didn't like it, but whatever.
Okay, so what do you think about when you hear the fact that they're going to roll out Joe Ely, which I kind of like, but country, kind of a, you know, outlaw country guy. Dilbert McClinton, who is a kind of a white boogie dude who taught John Lennon how to play the harmonica. And David Allan Coe, who wrote... Do you know where I'm going with this, Harper?
Stop.
Well, you know, he's famous. He's famous for writing "Take This Job and Shove It" back in the 70s. But he also took a little career detour in the early 80s where he sort of lost his mind. And he wrote an album of music that was... I'd say controversial is an easy way to say it, because one of the names of one of the songs, I'm only going to say part of it.
You can't repeat them.
No. It was N Fucker.
That's real classy.
Well, that's who they're bringing. And so Sandy Scott is sitting there talking about family entertainment, and they want to bring David Coe out. David Allan Coe out.
Jesus!
And furthermore, since when does anybody who paid for wrestling give a shit about family entertainment? I want to see somebody get busted upside the fucking head.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, me too. And, you know, I think that's a lot of lip service, too, from Sandy Scott right there about family entertainment.
And you think those like, big country acts would be successful in fucking Veteran Stadium and Philly?
Well, right, and that's the other thing I'm going to.
On the same record where he went to the racial content, he also had a song that the 10th track on this record was called
Fuck Me in the Butt.
Yes.
Will you stop?
Fuck Me in the Butt, Fuck Me in the Butt, Fuck Me in the Butt.
The 9th track on the album was Don't Bite the Dick.
Don't Let's bite the dick that loves you, honey.
Let's get back on track here. So here's what I took from that. While Doc was worried about the musical artist and U2 Harper, they're going to RFK Stadium. They're going to Veterans Stadium. They're going to Riverfront Stadium. They said Atlanta, but that actually was going to be Fulton County Stadium, the old Atlanta Falcons Stadium. I was like, man, business was really good. You're doing all these NFL stadiums back
then. Right, that's what I was thinking was, how was the turnout? Because those are major you know, NFL quality stadiums. I mean, that's not like the fucking UNO.
Right. Well, they named, I think, unless my count is wrong, they named 4 NFL stadiums just in that soundbite right there. Mm-hmm.
Well, the other thing is, when they showed the clips of the previous year's bash, tell me you saw the Confederate flag in the crowd.
I sure did.
Wrestling the way it used to be.
Yeah, alright, I did see that. That was funny. I popped on that. Okay, so, I mean, it was a Southern wrestling promotion. What do you expect? I mean, it just, you know, you're gonna see Confederate flags. You're gonna see, you know what? You're gonna see a lot of offensive things if you. And this is a different time, dude. This is 1986.
Do it today, and you'll see it.
So, all right, let's keep it moving. So we go from that to Tully Blanchard versus Rocky King. Rocky puts up a nice fight, but Tully wins with a slingshot suplex. Doc, any thoughts from that?
Pretty quick.
Yeah, Rocky is so good, man. It's almost like, why are you doing this, man?
I actually have
He puts a headlock on Tully, and it looks great.
I made a note, and like I said, I was watching the next episode earlier before we started, and the note that I made, and I want to talk about this more next week, not this week, was, I think, like, Rocky King really could have been a solid mid-carder.
Yep.
Just how you watch him. I have no clue how well he talks.
He as far as a problem. Promo.
What's that?
Pigment of his skin.
Well, yeah, I mean, obviously. unfortunately, yeah. Yeah, I mean, but yeah, Rocky's good, Harper. I agree with you. I want to talk more about that next week.
What about Shasta?
Shasta good too. I mean, you notice something about Shasta though, and we've talked about this before. Man, Shasta was just like kind of floundering, and then he starts shucking and jiving. All of a sudden, over, man. This is crazy. All right, let's move on.
Hold on. This is from Jim Cornette, an article he wrote on Fighting Spirit. The 1986 Bash Tour kicked off in Philadelphia at Veterans Stadium. Eyeballing the crowd during the first match, Flair, who had plenty of experience assessing stadium crowds, estimated there were 15,000 to 20,000 fans in the seats. Standing next to him, I was not quite sold on 20,000, but I knew that the crowd definitely would not have fit inside our normal home, the Philadelphia Civic Center, which held just north of 10,000.
Well, there you go.
That's good.
Well, and then you got to figure, too, that's not during football season. So.
Oh, yeah. That's the summertime.
It's summertime. Now, I think at that – well, not I think. Some of the Philadelphia fans will tell me, but I know Phillies used that stadium, too, during that – back then.
Right.
So on July the 4th in Memphis at the Liberty Bowl, which was mentioned on there, he said there couldn't have been 1,000 fans there and the gate wasn't even reported.
Damn. That sucks. I wonder why.
The next night in Charlotte at Memorial Stadium, there was 20,000.
That's decent. I mean, that's, you know.
Yeah, I'll take that.
Yeah. Anything else? 2,000.
On July the 7th in Spartanburg, South Carolina.
That kind of sucks for Spartanburg.
3,500 in Riverfront Stadium.
That's not good in Riverfront. That's too big of a building for 3,500 people.
But then on the 10th and 11th, they set all-time gate records in Charleston, West Virginia, and Roanoke.
Okay.
But the Gator Bowl didn't sell out well. Okay, so I'm trying to see here. Once they get closer to like.
I wonder what Fulton County did.
I'm looking.
Okay.
That was a major building.
Johnson City, Tennessee did 6,500.
Wow, that's awesome. Smoky Mountain territory.
That's what he says in the article. A future monthly town for Smoky Mountain.
Yeah.
I'm still Dallas. He has the gates, the numbers here. Drew under $100,000 in reunion, which was a 17,000 capacity.
Go ahead.
Wilmington was a non-bash event, had 1,600, and that's about it. Fulton County had a $185,000 house.
I know Tim Moretti.
Here's the deal. In 34 days, they did 14 bash events, 11 house shows, 6 TV tapings. Wow.
Yeah, they were busy. Tim Moretti.
That's 31 different events in 34 days.
Ooh, ooh. They were busy, boss. Tim's got a book with all the figures in it, so he'll tweet it to me or message me. I know he will. He's good about
but
that.
But it's not as much fun as listening to me drink beer and stumble through the internet on it.
Yeah, of course. Just wasting a lot of time. No, I'm just kidding. All right, let's go to the next promo. Right here. Here it is.
Here with Jim Cornette, and you have your men here with you.
Yeah, dude, let me tell you something. I finally got proof what kind of psychos Dusty Rhodes and Magnum T.A.R. Everybody saw them come out here last week, masks over their face. The James Gang embarrassed my men on national television, a swindle, a cheat, and now the latest thing they perpetrated. You know what it was, Tony. I want everybody all over the country to see the latest thing that the James Gang perpetrated. Show that tape right now.
Take a look at maybe one of the worst nights of your life.
A fat pig.
Y'all hear that crowd going nuts?
I know, huh?
Insane.
It's crushing.
Oh, Cornette! Oh, Tony, they got a rope! They have got a rope! What are they going to do with him? Where are they going with Cornette? They got him! What are they going to do? They carried him! They got that rope!
They drug him out the building.
Tony, can you hear me?
They're about
to see what they're doing? They got the truck. You see? They got around him. They got him hooked. Baby dolls in that truck. Wait a minute. Here they come. Oh, good grief.
Boy, now that was
the
scary.
The rope around my neck, tied into the truck. Who knows what they would have done to me if Bobby and Dennis hadn't got there to save me? What kind of psychos are they? Let me tell you, it's fighting for the honor of Baby Doll, who's nothing but a fat pig. Dusty Rhodes, this ain't the old West. This is modern times. You can't get away with stuff like that. My mother was horrified when she saw it. She came down, spent 3 days putting Vaseline on my rope burns. The old dear can't take too many more shocks like that. Tony, do you realize what that could do to her? She was upset. Bobby and Dennis were upset. Let me tell you something, Dusty Rhodes and Magnum TA. It's plain as the nose on his face exactly who you are. You're not the James Gang. You're America's team fighting for that fat pig Baby Doll. And Baby Doll, I ain't forgot about you yet, darling. Before I'm finished with you, you're going to be out of this business. You're going to be a fat, unemployed valet with Sealy Posturepedic tattooed across your back. And if you want to play that way, Dusty and TA, these men are more capable of doing the same thing. So you just be on the lookout that something bad don't happen to you. The greatest team in professional wrestling. Loverboy Dennis, beautiful Bobby, the Midnight Express.
Harper, you go first.
Dragging him behind a damn pickup truck from a noose.
Right.
God.
Did you see the cops stand there as he went right by him?
And right, like,
that ain't the first time that cop stood there and watched somebody just go by with a noose around their neck.
Jesus.
That cop was like, shit, we call this shit Friday night around here.
It's just another Tuesday for me.
That crowd, there was not a person in that building sitting.
Hell no. Dude, it sounded like the building was on fire.
Yeah, that's what it sounded like. That cop was like, we're hanging the white boys now. Are we out of all the black folks?
Oh, come on, Doc. Oh,
that's nice.
Watch, go back and watch it when it walks by and see if you couldn't see something like that coming out of that cop's mouth.
Oh, come on, Doc.
You tell me I'm wrong. You tell me I'm wrong. You
I mean,
tell me.
Seriously,
tell
dude.
Me.
Seriously. All right.
Just because I say it doesn't mean I want to do it. You're the only person I would want that to do that to. Not,
that's
not
nice.
Harper, not the Docaholics.
Yeah.
Just you.
Okay. All right. If you say so. Okay. Did y'all catch the line that Cornette said about the Sealy Posturepedic being tattooed on Baby Doll's back?
Mm.
Wow.
Did anybody else get nervous when he talked about his mom and Vaseline, how that was going to end?
Yeah. That was a little strange. It's like, where's he going? Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. Okay. So we go to, from that, you heard Corny introduce the team, and they're about to wrestle. It's the Midnight Express versus Randy and Bill Mulkey. And I think it was last week we had a Mulkey brother splat on the concrete. Mm. Literally splat, right, Doc?
Yeah.
I don't know. I can't think about anything about because of what's about to happen.
So what I did was, it's funny because I watched this. I didn't text Doc after I watched it. Doc texted me over the weekend and goes, holy shit, a Mulkey just splatted again. So I've got that queued up, and I'm going to play it. Now, Bobby Eaton is just getting into the ring, and one of the Mulkeys is in the ring, and let's listen to what happens.
I hope Dusty Rhodes and Magnum T back the cameras up, give him some room. Are they watching this? This America's Team is what you've got mad at you.
That was a suplex on the concrete, and that man just splattered. Harper, I'll throw it to you first, and then Doc, you go.
I was thinking 15. Hey, the loser got $15 for doing this shit.
No shit.
Doc, your thoughts.
Go back and play the whole thing, and there's two bumps, and listen to the crowd both times.
All right, let's get it queued.
And while we do that, my only note here is Mulkey's dead.
Yeah, me too. Here it is.
I hope Dusty Rhodes and Magnum T back the cameras up, give him some room. Are they watching this? This America's Team is what you've got mad at you.
That poor man might not get up again, Jim.
I don't care.
That poor man might not get up again, Jim. I don't care. Go ahead,
Doc. That's how you do it. I mean, okay, so let me ask you this. Is there any possibility in the world that either Jim, Bobby, or Dennis gave that Mulkey like an extra 20?
I don't know, man. I just know I thought he was dead.
Yeah.
Because he takes the first one like on his ass when he flips, you know, and he goes through the ropes.
Do you know how crazy anything I watch on television has to be for me to make any noise when I'm watching it alone? Like, it could be a football game, it could be a comedy. I don't laugh out loud. Whatever.
Right.
He hit the concrete from the ring, and I went, "Oh no!"
It was enough for you to text me.
I rewound it, watched it again, and still made noise. Jesus Christ. Mulkey Mania, that maybe Mulkey Mania started as a payback for this.
Probably so. Harper, any other thoughts?
Just like they say they're two of the best jobbers, and they made them fucking look strong as hell. So bro, I think they really are.
This is the second week in a row he's taken one like that.
Right, exactly.
I mean, we talked about it last week where he splattered. He went over the top rope. I mean, this was – he goes through the ropes and he hits, bam. And then that suplex is just – it's just back, just
Why
hitting
the fucking
floor.
Fucking pads on the floor.
You didn't do that back then, man. I mean, whatever, at this point. Ah, man. Y'all are pussies nowadays with them fucking pads on the floor. Work on concrete, man.
You don't got pads on the floor.
That's true. Not at Wildcat, you don't.
Fuck no.
Other places do.
Yeah, fucking WWE's got that pad. It's like a foot, 2 feet thick.
It's very, very thick. It's, I mean, you as well take
it's
a
just
bump
like a
in
bed,
the ring.
Bro.
Right. Yeah. It's a Sealy Posturpedic. Mm-hmm. Okay. Like I said, Midnight Express win. And then Cornette's not done. He's got to cut another promo. Here that is.
Now, like I said before, we showed that tape. We got this business out of the way. Everybody with a lick of sense knows that the James boys were Dusty Rhodes and Magnum T.A. I've written a letter to NWA President Bob Geigel, the Fred Mertz of professional wrestling. I want the decision of the match reversed. I want a number of actions taken. And I want Jim Crockett out here right now, just like I did last week. But I expect quicker action. I want the decision that match last week reversed.
You're not going to stay
and the
here
Midnight Express.
Out,
yes, I am. And the Midnight Express declared the winners because the James boys were a couple of phonies. Okay,
Jimmy Crockett, thank you for coming out. Thank you very much. Jim Crockett.
Bob Geigel, I'm sure you've gotten a copy of it or some kind of statement about it by now. I want to hear your reaction.
Yes, I got a letter from Bob Geigel.
And?
Well, I'm sure he didn't say Merry Christmas. What'd he say?
Well, he said the victory by the James boys will stand unless you can prove that it was Dusty and Magnum.
How much more proof do you need? You couldn't hide those bodies with a burlap sack.
I guess you'll have to take the mask off, but as far as I'm concerned, it was the James boys.
Okay. I concede. Jim Crockett Promotions, NWA ain't going to do nothing. We got to do it ourselves. Okay. They want the mask. Dusty Rhodes and Magnum TA, we're going to rip those black hoods off your faces and show everybody just exactly what kind of fraud you are. And then I'm sure that I will be able to get Bob Geigel or some other reasonable person in the NWA to suspend you, to fine you, maybe to ban you from wrestling for once and for all, because you're nothing but hoodlums and you shouldn't be involved in a sport as great as this with great men like these. And remember, baby doll, I can lick you any day of the week.
The world tag team champion.
Yahtzee.
Go ahead, Hopper.
I forgot about that at the end.
I can lick you any day of the week. Go ahead.
So I guess they're gonna have a mask match or whatever. They gotta take that mask off if they lose.
I guess we're gonna see. I love the promo. I love the setup of it all and everything there. But, yeah, I guess we'll see, man. The James gang are causing havoc, and the Cornette ain't happy. And, you know, Crockett Jr.'s response was actually kind of perfect to me. Well, I mean, they're masked, you know. Take the mask off if you think that's who they are. That was a classic thing back in the day. They did it back in the territories. Doc, what'd you think?
You know, usually I feel pretty hard about Crockett on camera, but you're right. He did a pretty good job there. He could have got swallowed up pretty easy with that, and he actually didn't. So, you know, I'll let you guys and Corny lick baby doll, but whatever. Yeah.
That's nice.
Corny.
Busting, you know, baby doll's guts out.
Oh, boy. All right. So, okay, we'll keep it moving then. We got a big-time match next. It's Ric Flair and Arn Anderson versus Carl Stiles and Bob Owens, old Carl Stiles from Smoky Mountain fame. 2 weeks in a row, Ric has worked a Saturday night. And 2 weeks in a row, we also see Ric use the figure four to get the win. Doc, your thoughts from the match?
Man, it's just, what's causing all that? They just fill up a whole half of the ring, their half of the ring. It's just, he, you know, Flair says it, two world champions here, and they carry it well. And, you know, Owens and Styles are bigger guys, don't have a chance.
Yep. Harper, what about you?
Once again, how lucky are these fans to see two of these guys work, man?
It's pretty much nothing.
They didn't pay to get in there.
Yep. I mean, it's no Great American Bash match, but, you know.
But still.
Still.
You got exposed to it.
Well, not only that, you get to see them, and then you get to see all these promos, and he's got a great promo coming up too. So, yeah, I agree. But the NWA at that time was
be blessed and be a blessing.
I mean, think about it; they were blessing their people coming to the studio. All right, anything else from the match, Hopper?
No.
All right, Doc, you know,
jobbers.
Yeah. All right. So, you know, here it is. Ric Flair, promo.
And fresh off of another win, here he is, the heavyweight champion of the world, Nature Boy Ric Flair.
You know, Tony Schiavone, the times in my life when I've got to come out here alone and just be as outrageous as I can be, because that's the way it is in life. The bottom line in the greatest sport in the world today is this. It's the World Heavyweight Championship. It costs $40,000. It's solid gold, silver, diamonds, and rubies. And it belongs, whether you like it or not, it belongs to me until there's a man that can walk that aisle and do something about it. So I can talk about all the women I am. I can talk about the big cars. I can talk about the nice clothes. I can talk about the yachts and the airplanes. You know why I can talk about that? Because I'm the world champion. And Ricky Morton, you poor little thing. You poor little thing. If you think that walking through life with a bunch of teeny boppers and training underwear gets it done, you're sadly mistaken. Because for every teeny bopper that's got it for you, baby, there's 24 big girls that got it for me. You know why? Because I'm the champ. And whether you like it or not, I'm going to be the champ for a long time. Just got back from laying in the sun in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, and Tony Schiavone, if you don't think I wasn't driving some women wild down there, then you don't call me Ric Flair ever again. Now we're talking about the legendary Arn Anderson, the world television champion, Tully Blanchard, the national champion. You talk about Ric Flair. You talk about Cornette and the Midnight Express. You talk about the call-off. And you're talking about winners. Let me say one more thing. Morton, sooner or later you're going to be history. So I broke a Dusty Rhodes leg. I beat up Ricky Morton. The next thing on my agenda is right here. As the man is my witness, I'm going to beat up one of the Road Warriors just to show you people how tough, how tough Ric Flair can be. What's causing all this stuff, Gerald? What's causing all this?
That's the man, the heavyweight.
Mine is, what's causing all this, huh? Go for it, Tony. Tell your wife I said hello, guy.
The heavyweight champion of the world, nature boy Ric Flair. Don't you dare go away.
Doc, you first.
You know, there's a lot going on there, but I like the last 30 seconds where, first of all, you ended with telling Tony to tell Lois hi for him. And then, you know, out of nowhere, he just veered over and said, I'm going to beat up a Road Warrior, which he must have been feeling super strong because I'm world champion or not. I don't know that that's the path I want to roll down, but whatever. I mean, shit, you're Ric Flair. Do what you want, dude. But that belt may cost $40,000, but his goddamn first name is still misspelled on that son of a bitch.
It sure is. Offer your thoughts.
Nothing pisses me off more than misspelling shit, too. God damn it. It's spelling. You learn that shit early on.
All right, Doc. Offer your thoughts.
Fucking great, man. That's why he was Ric Flair.
Yeah, it was
Fuck.
Good.
I know, huh?
Yeah. Doc's right.
Wasn't it so much more fucking believable back then?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
God, and it just pulled you in.
Even like the bad shit.
If I was someone fucking walking by the TV and I heard this, I would stop and be like, you know, what the fuck is this?
That shit with Corny getting strung up, I was like, dude, are they really going to drop off with him? And I knew they weren't, but I was like, they're going to drop off with him, I bet.
I mean, Harper nailed it with that. Like, I don't think any of us just woke up one day and was like, we want to watch pro wrestling. You just happened to be watching it with somebody or walked past a TV and was like, what's this shit?
Yeah.
And then out of nowhere, you're like, you sat down and watched it and was like, this is some pretty good shit here. Yeah. And then it became as much appointment TV as it could be when you were a kid that you could watch it, and get a, you know, if you had access to it. And that's how you got hooked on it. Man, you can't walk past the TV nowadays and get hooked on wrestling. It's fake folk, you know, phony hokey horse shit, man. So, I agree, Hopper. You hit it. Doc, I agree with you, too. When he called out the Road Warrior, I was like, what the fuck, yeah. Rick? Where are you going with that?
That's just Ric Flair doing shit because he could do shit.
Yeah, pretty much.
Hey,
I love the way
watch this. Hey, watch
right.
this. Because
right.
I can imagine Hawk in the back just like, he did what? And then like throw a TV across the room.
I do like you finishing off with what's causing all this? At Gerald Green III on Twitter will love that one. He's always tweeting me that. But I agree. What's causing all that? I love the finishing off of it. Just so casual after he calls out Hawk, he's going to start posing. That's how you know you're a conceited bastard. That's how you know you're smelling yourself when you do shit like that. You call out a Road Warrior and then you're like, you know what, I'm going to start flexing and I'm going to tell Tony Schiavone to give his wife a kiss for me. I mean, damn, how fucking badass are you? Okay, we go from that to Boogie Woogie Man who just did a line of coke, and I don't have it queued up, but Doc, did you have anything from it?
Only that he was throwing down an interesting look, because if you look real closely, he's got a tattoo on his earlobe. And he's got like, I think like band-aids around his fingers, like fingerless gloves or some shit. Dude, he's an odd fella.
Slightly. Harper, your thoughts?
You having a tattoo on your ear or something like that back then. I mean, you're a fucking circus freak.
Mm-hmm.
Let me ask this. How many lines of coke did he do before the promo, Doc?
How many were there?
How many were available? Okay. Well, after his promo, it's a match. It's Jimmy Valiant, Manny Fernandez versus Larry Clark and Paul Garner. Very quick match. Manny and Boogie win. And then after that, we get Magnum and Jim Crockett Jr. What did y'all think? I'll throw it to you, Doc. You got thoughts on that one? Did you want me to play it, is what I'm asking?
No.
Okay. The contract? I mean, if you want to, I mean, whatever.
It's self-explanatory. I mean,
right.
Yeah. You know, they talk about the contract with the, whatchamacallit, what's his name? Mm-hmm. It's okay. We'll keep moving then. The next one, though, is I got to play this because it's just
he's
Paul Jones.
He's a colored boy.
Okay, hold on. Here it is. Oh, shit.
Okay, Paul Jones and his army, and the fans are shouting, ball-headed geek, and you know why? Because of the shirt that Jimmy Valiant came out here with just minutes ago.
With all the propaganda that Valiant is telling people, and I understand Manny Fernandez wants to take a side, and he wants to get out here and talk about this and talk about that. Well, Manny Fernandez, you get involved, you're going to be a ball-headed geek. Barrett, you tell the people what we have in store. For Jimmy Valiant.
We have our orders. Jimmy Valiant, you can hire all the thugs you want. We don't care if it's a raging bull. We don't care who it is. They're all going to pay the same price. We have our orders. It's going to be snip, snip, snip. Tell your thugs that. Tell Manny Fernandez that. Or whoever else you get. Right, Cheska?
That's right, Barrett. And let me tell you what this is. This is just evident of what's going to be happening to you, Jimmy Valiant. And you, Manny Fernandez. I'm going to tell you what, he ain't nothing but an off-brand colored boy anyway. And I'm the one that said it. And I'm going to tell you another thing. If you think that you're going to make this pretty hair up here, I got news for you, sucker. I ain't going bald. I got good hair. You the one with horse hair. I'm going to take it all off. And Manny Fernandez, I ain't never wanted no chihuahua dog, but my dog needs a little hair too. And I'll get some from you, sucker.
Paul Jones and his army with us here today on World Championship Wrestling.
It's going to be done. Valiant!
Let's go get him.
Let's just show what we're talking about.
All right, Paul Jones has instructed his men to go to the ring.
It was so funny. Harper Cole. He's good TV, man.
He's so good.
And he's believable.
It's so awesome. I keep going back to what Dean Coles told me, or Dean Wrestling told me on Twitter. I did, Dean. I forgot how good Cheska was. It's hilarious. This shit here. The first line when Paul Jones says all the propaganda with his Hitler outfit on was just so fitting. And I don't know if it was intended, but it was so fitting. And then Cheska calling Boogie an off-brand colored boy. What the fuck? What the fuck? Then he called him Chihuahua or Chihuahua hair. What the fuck? Go ahead, Doc.
You got to wonder why Pez didn't continue his ascent here.
Pez is so good in this role.
Yeah.
Maybe it's because he was so funny. I don't know. Like he was too funny of a heel and people would end up popping on shit like that. This shit is ridiculous. That was so utterly ridiculous. It's hard to explain. Like to somebody, we've all seen it, and people out there who are listening to this hear it. I mean, it's one thing to hear it, and it's another thing to hear it and see it. It's just, it's insane. Like, where did he come up with that? He called a white man an off-brand colored boy. A hippie white man. Like, what? Oh, boy. Okay, Doc, any other thoughts?
No.
Okay. Offer you.
I feel like we should steer away from this now.
It's insane. So after that, they go to the match, and it's the Barbarian, Shaska, and Baron versus Art Pritz, Kent Glover, Butch Brannigan, who I don't remember seeing up until this point. Paul Jones's Army obviously gets the win. Doc, any thoughts from that match?
Brannigan debut.
Yeah. Anything else?
No.
All right, Harper, you? Okay. Yeah, same here. I mean, pretty much for me. So after that, it's the Koloffs are coming back out, and, you know, we love Uncle Ivan, so here we go.
The Russians, Ivan and Nikita Koloff with the World Six-Man Tag Team Trophy, and, of course, Nikita still has that chain. I know you heard the comments of Mr. Jim Crockett, Magnum TA, great. That next week some news about that match on TV for the U.S. heavyweight title.
Yes, Jim Crockett, the most powerful promoter in all professional wrestling. I heard the statement he made. Yes, the negotiations would continue next week of the signing of the match between Nephew Nikita and Magnum TA, United States heavyweight title match on television. Well, it's about time. You know, as powerful as a promoter as Jim Crockett is, and as strict as the NWA is, they were unable to tell Nikita, to dictate to Nikita, my nephew, what he was to do. No, it was the opposite. Nephew Nikita dictated to them, said that you had to meet our terms, Magnum TA, and sign the Russian chain matches. So you did. Your foolish American pride made you sign it. We forced you into that situation. Now, Nephew Nikita has made me proud time and time again, not only defeating you, Magnum TA, in Russian chain match, but devastating you throughout the United States. Now, when the American Bash 86 come around, just like 85, we will be headlining it, but Nephew Nikita will be United States Heavyweight Champion.
Well, it's about time Magnum TA going to meet Nikita on TV for this title. Magnum TA, you show Nikita you got a gun in Russian chain. No much gun, but you got some gun. Magnum TA, I'm going to show all the stink in the world. You defeat for U.S. title. Mega TA, I warned you, no forget Bob Nikita.
More action awaits you in the ring.
That's pretty damn good until Nikita started talking. What'd you think, Doc?
I don't remember anything Ivan said because I was trying to forget I was listening to Nikita.
Okay. Harper, what about
you? Yeah. Fuck, bro. That guy kills everything. He kills the hard on, man.
Well, I guess you got a point there. I don't know what else I can add to that.
Fuck.
Yeah, pretty much, unfortunately. So, okay.
When he turned face, did the accent get less annoying? I don't remember.
Wait and see.
Yeah.
I
mean, I remember, but like to think back to how bad is that? First, I mean, I don't think it changes.
First, we have to wait for Magnum to get crippled. And they need a baby face.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think it changes. It's.
Yeah.
You know, unfortunately, we're gonna. I think it's. Well, I won't say anything else. Yeah. It doesn't. I don't think it changes. All right. But we do go to the next match. It's Jimmy Garvin versus Jim Dawson. Very quick match. Garvin wins with a brainbuster that he really hurt this guy. I mean, he didn't really hurt him, but it looks vicious.
Yeah. And then, fuck that.
Right. Right. Yeah. You saw it too, Harper. Right. Doc, any thoughts from the match?
Dropped on his fucking head.
Boy, did he.
Yeah.
Shit. Okay, so here I am going to play Jimmy Garvin promo here. Here it is. Just because of what he says, specifically. Mm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, is right.
Oh, spray the air, pressure, spray the air. Especially heavy today because let me tell you, Tony, it's been an action-packed 2 hours. But there's a few things going on around here that I'm just going to have to talk about. Okay. Number one, I thought that was real sick.
You had that Dusty Rhodes out here with his arm around that other man, calling him pretty. I think that was real sickening. America's team, are you kidding me, man? They're out here holding hands and hugging each other. She had to hold me back because I almost came out here and smacked the both of them for acting this way on the Superstation. Now you got the case of this other punch drunk Indian out here. I mean, what happened? Did I get invisible all of a sudden? I mean, all of a sudden, can't you see me, Wahoo? He comes out here talking about Arn Anderson. Don't change the subject, boy. Don't change the subject. How can you start talking about Arn Anderson when you haven't dealt with gorgeous Jimmy Garvin yet?
Right, gorgeous.
I mean, really? I mean, I got some patience, but let's not get carried away, Wahoo McDaniels. And he gets out here crying about Arn Anderson and helping me and all that kind of stuff. Well, let me explain it to the people. Wahoo McDaniels has a nasty mouth, ladies and gentlemen. I'll tell you, if you got any children, keep them away from him. He's a nasty individual that don't know how to treat a lady. And if anybody out there thinks they're going to get away with loose talk around my squeeze, I got another thing coming for them, Tony Schiavone. Let me tell you. So let's get all this straight. No more hugging guys on the Superstation, Dusty Rhodes, you sick individual. And Magnum T.A., he can't go nowhere. In fact, they can't go nowhere without each other. I heard the other day Magnum got up to go to the bathroom. Dusty went with him. I don't know. The fact is, my lips are getting a little dry, and I'm going to close this whole thing with a big kiss.
We'll see you next week on World Championship Wrestling.
Doc, go ahead.
Do you think if we sent a tape of Jimmy Garvin saying bad things about gay people in 1986 to his current employer, because he's a airline pilot, that he would get fired by corporate for not for being insensitive to diversity?
Maybe. Is there a statute? Well, no, it's a company. I mean, they can do what they want.
Do what the fuck they want.
Jim Garvin don't like the gays, apparently.
I mean, you can't see it because you're just listening, but he starts doing a little thing with his hand where he's basically insinuating that they're gay, and he's making gay insults toward these two.
Back then, no one liked the gays.
No one.
Wow. I mean, let's be serious. Democrats, Republicans, old, young, black and white, no one's like, oh, fucking gays. I don't want that shit around me.
No, you're right. That's true. Mm-hmm. That's true. I can't argue with you.
Oh, yeah. Gays have come a long way in 30 years.
They come a long way, bro. Shit.
No, you're right, man. That's true. We're in a different landscape now, man. Mm-hmm. Back then, you were absolutely correct, man. That was like
Let me ask you this. Some of your highly esteemed locker rooms that you were in, Menace. How would Darren Young have been treated if people knew he was gay?
I mean, this is the mid-80s. You're talking mid-90s. I mean, I was 10 years after this.
Still pretty sketchy for the gay man.
Yeah, well, back then. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, I agree. It wasn't accepted. But, I mean, it was more accepted, but you're right. But
you know
I even
part,
think
you
back
know what
to...
Made, you know what made the... The tide turn for the gay man?
No clue where you're going with this.
It's very timely, too. I'm telling you, it was 9/11 because everybody got a common enemy on 9/11. White people and black people started hanging out. Gay people were brought into the fold. It was everybody against the Muslims at that point.
Well, that shit's starting to fade now. I mean, it's the whole united...
starting.
We ain't united as a country no more.
No, yeah,
that was 15 years ago.
No, right. But that's when gays got their come up, if you will.
I got you. Well, that's old shit now, right, Harper?
Yeah, that was like, what, 10? Fuck, that was over 10 years. That was
16
God
years
damn.
Now.
Uh-oh, Harper's doing math. Look out.
Wait, carry the one?
Carry the one. Harper's about to go take a break. Listen.
That's great and all, and I'm happy for you. What happens if she gets on the court against, I don't know, Djokovic or Rafael Nadal or Roger Federer? What happens? Who's taking a piss?
Hoffer's over there.
Oh, God. God. Hit the mute button, you savage.
You all right?
Jesus.
Every time I play that soundbite, I pop.
Why was I talking about tennis?
Yeah.
No clue. But Auburn started pissing.
Loser sport.
Auburn started pissing. And let me tell you something. Jim really is hard to rattle, Doc. Doc stopped and missed it. It was like, who's taking a piss?
Do you know how hard it is to piss holding a fucking laptop in your fucking hand?
Yes, I do.
Oh,
that was a classic.
Once a week, at least.
Oh, classic.
And I usually wait for a Rick promo because that goes longest. So now, every time you hear a Rick promo on our show, there's a good chance I was taking a piss.
Okay, let's rate this episode. Doc, you go first. What are you rating it?
Man, I'm going to tell you something here. I'm going to give this a straight up A-. And the champ was on TV, and it was 62 minutes long. And as we talked about offline today, wrestling is better when it hovers around the hour mark.
Yes.
Yeah. What you think the same, Harper?
Yes.
Yeah, buddy. I agree. 1 hour mark. Go ahead, Hop.
I'll give it a B plus. I wouldn't give it a whole A, but a B plus. How about that?
Yeah, I can see that. I mean, I'm in the A minus category myself, and I'm in the same thought process as Doc. That 60, just over 60 minutes, 1 hour of wrestling is like the sweet spot. It's like the sweet spot on a bat, man. It's perfect, and that's what I want each and every week. And that was great, man. I think it was perfect. I got to do this as far as the Rolex. Now, we had Rick on here. Arn didn't cut a promo, but we did have Rick. And we also, you know, we had Magnum and Dusty. I got to give it to Shaska, though. That fucking insane promo from Shaska. He's not going to get an opportunity a lot to win it based on where we're at these days with who he's up against every week. But Shaska's getting it. Doc, who's getting it from you?
Whichever Mulkey brother landed on the concrete.
I don't remember which one it was now. Harper, what about you?
Cornette gets another Rolex.
Yeah.
He's got like 20 of them going up Adonis' arm now.
Now, here's the thing, a question for both of you. Doc, you first. Think about this episode. It's not an A-plus episode, but we just gave our Rolex to three different people. What's that say about the episode, Doc?
And none of them were Ric Flair.
Yeah.
Right.
Or right. Dusty.
Or Magnum.
Mm-hmm.
Or Ivan. I mean, yeah. Or Arn. An Arn wrestler didn't cut a promo.
The roster is stacked. That's what
yes.
that means.
That's exactly what that means. Okay. All right, so yeah, really, really good episode. You know, we ended with Jimmy Garvin, and I do want to say something for all the people out there who were Jimmy Garvin fans and World Class. I have started doing the solo shows for World Class Championship Wrestling that are on the network, similar to how Doc and Harper and I do this, where we play the promos, react to them, except it's a solo show. Doc and Harper are going to join me at some point. It is only for patrons. It is on the patron link. So that's a benefit to being a patron. So if you are considering becoming one, that's a benefit you'll get. Along with we're coming up to where it's almost time to cut another promo and one of the patrons to join the show. I want to thank the new patrons, Daniel Cardenas and at @BLEW_THE_KAKE. At B Lou on Twitter. Thanks for becoming patrons. We appreciate it. Look, we do 8 free shows a month. Sign up, help us out, support the show. It's a great way to do so on an ongoing basis. It's tinyurl.com/BTTPatron. Definitely would appreciate your support. I want to thank the Hall of Fame patrons at Thin Man Within, at Slider91US, Justin Rasmussen, at ShepDaddy32, at USC 49ers Dodger, Gerald Green III, at T-Hog94, at SV Pageant, at MartinHowell71, at Tim Moretti, at Codeman822. At Gobbold Unreal and at Unconvinced Ray, thank you for being Hall of Fame members, and please consider signing up. Again, you get all the exclusive content up on the Patreon link when you do so via the Podbean app. All right, we'll keep things moving now. And, Doc, did you listen to the Tim Horner interview on our friends at the Two-Man Power Trip? Okay.
I didn't listen to it.
Well,
it's
you didn't
a recent
miss
one?
Went up last week. Last Thursday, Doc, was it? Was it last Thursday, Doc? I don't remember.
I don't know. It was last week.
Okay. We'll give a quick rundown because, you know, we know you folks like our Tim Horner takes.
Hey, if you get tired, I'll hop on. I'll take over.
Something you never tell another man. All right, so Tim Horner, first thing he said, Demolition was in the UWF, and Fuji and Horner were neighbors in Tennessee. And Tim Horner says WWF wanted Brad and Tim to come into the WWF to work with Demolition because they needed a hot babyface team to work with. But Brad didn't want to go. Soon after that, the Rockers were born with Marty Jannetty and Shawn Michaels. Horner says, and I quote, "Who knows how that would have turned out if we would have gone up there?
It would have done nothing."
Well, Brad would have been fine. I mean, Brad was a very good in-ring performer. They would have stuck a microphone there. Well, you make a good point, Doc. You make a good point.
In a wrestling organization, Brad Armstrong will always be okay. But that's not a wrestling organization.
That's true. That's true. Yeah, you got a point there. So we're all – I just wanted to get that out. Doc, any other thoughts on Horner's claim that maybe they would have been the next – they would have been the Lightning Express, so they would have outdone the Rockers?
Hopper? The next thing he's going to say is that he was on the grassy knoll when fucking JFK was shot.
Okay. Horner also repeats with our friends at the Two-Man Power Trip that the Smoky Mountain deal was sealed when Rick Rubin got a signed pair of Ric Flair's boots, which we just talked to Mr. Jim Cornette about, Doc, and that was categorically denied. Correct, Doc?
So, demonstrably false.
Yes. But he repeats that's what happened. So, once again, we think Horner's lying there.
If I was gonna bankroll a wrestling organization instead of signed or a pair of Flair's boots, I'd want a pair of Katy Perry's titties.
A pair?
Yeah, both of them attached to her.
That's generally we want titties attached to the bitch. I mean, we don't want the titties just separate.
I mean, yeah, but like, I mean, right? you don't want somebody to misunderstand your instructions.
Okay, that's true. Okay. And let's see, one more thing. Tim also claimed he had a gentleman's handshake agreement with Cornette to be part owner of Smoky Mountain. This is what he said in response to John or Chad, I can't remember who did the interview, claiming that Tim should have had a right to the ownerships of the tape library. So, Doc, do you want to repeat what Cornette told us when we talked to him about Horner and his claims to ownership of Smoky Mountain?
I think it was just that he laughed out loud, just immediately showing how ridiculous that claim would be, and that he had all the paperwork, all the receipts, and if you've ever seen Jim's rifle through his copious notes, who are you going to believe?
Amen, amen. Tim Horner did also say he's on Facebook, so I may reach out to him on there and see if we can land him on the show.
Yeah, right.
Mike and I've already played out how the Tim Horner BTT interview would go. First of all, just so you know, and this is time to bring you in on the gimmick, on the angle, Mike and I won't be there. It'll just be Harper. And Harper will just say, "So why are you?" And then Horner hangs up, and you go, "Book it, bitch."
Why do you use the R word, Doc? I can only imagine. Hey, Tim, man, we want to land you on the show, man. What's going on? You're that some bitch been talking about me.
Yeah,
no,
right.
I don't know.
He's
on Facebook.
Oh, really?
He's on Facebook. I saw it. He's on Facebook. I ain't sending him a friend request, but he's on Facebook.
I'm going to do it right now.
Do it.
All right. Now, Harper.
Now, I'm one of these guys that can't just fuck something up. I got to fuck it all the way up.
Okay. All right. So we got one more thing to discuss, and before we go there, I want to remind everyone, give the tinyurl.com/BTT Amazon link to your wives, girlfriends, and anyone in your family who shops. Please do so. It is a great way to support the show. We get a little bit of smaller kickback in return when you do so, so please use it. We would appreciate it. Doc, I sent you this link. Harper, I know you've heard this. It's just been many years. This is the Dudley Boys Heatwave incident promo from the Heatwave pay-per-view. It's a little long, but this is one of the most scathing promos I think I've ever heard in wrestling history. I don't deal in how Doc says hyperbole, but it's kind of how I feel. So, are you guys ready to listen to the Dudley Boys just rip this town a new one in this promo?
Yes.
Can we hear it?
Here it is. Good. Now, it's not the... I stop when Joel Gertner starts talking because literally this thing goes on for over 10 minutes. So, I'm not going to play the 10-minute version. I've got the half version of it. So, this is D-Von and Bubba Ray speaking. Here you go.
The Dudley Boys are in the house! And just turned up the heat a little bit more than normal. So if I was you, I'd sit down and shut the fuck up.
Oh boy.
That's real classy.
Is that really necessary?
Trying to make a point, Joey Styles. Get off his
head. Miserable piece of shit city makes me fucking You people are nothing but lower class white trash pieces of garbage.
Some people hate to hear the truth.
People didn't pay the hard-earned money to be insulted.
He's a six-time world champion. He knows what he's talking about.
They cheated every
Tonight,
time.
Tonight, Dayton, Ohio, and the rest of the entire wrestling world are gonna find out why me and my brother D-Von are the best goddamn tag team in the world. And if we had the time, we would come out there and kick every one of your asses.
I think he's pointing up at you, Joey Styles.
Must you always stir it up?
I mean, let's take a look at you people.
Here it comes.
We got some faggot in a Hawaiian shirt down here.
Can we please be a little more politically correct?
We got a mom in the front row who taught her daughter how to suck dick.
Why are you laughing, Joey Styles?
I'm not
That's
laughing.
Not funny.
I'm not laughing.
And we got some ugly Sanctosaurus who's gonna take 9 inches of black dick so far up our ass, he won't know what hit her.
Well, that sounds like a party I'd like to go to. Are you in?
No! No, I'm not!
I like the Dudleys.
Did you ask me on the party my wife travels with me?
Oh, is that your wife?
Not the one in the front row, no!
And you know what the great part about it is? None of you people got the guts to do anything about it.
Security, would security please surround the ring?
No one's going to make a move. They're the six-time World Tag Team Champions, and they know it.
Come on, boy!
That woman in the front row might make a move.
You want a piece of me? You want a piece of me, my brother? Come on, you fat balls, motherfucker!
How did he know his name?
You know what? It seems that you're a little confused. So since you won't come to us, we'll come to you.
Uh-oh, here comes an insurance disaster. Big lawsuit.
Now what are you going to do, Paul? What are you going to do, Paul?
I can't believe that. I'm shocked. That woman has no class, spitting on Bubba Ray like that.
I'm not getting involved in this. I don't find this funny.
How can you not get involved in it? You're the play-by-play. Call it.
This isn't wrestling. It's nothing to do with entertainment. It's just obnoxious. It's deplorable. It's offensive.
Oh, here we go.
All right, Joel Gertner was getting ready to freaking light in at that point, but I think we heard enough from just Bubba Ray and D-Von.
Yeah.
Doc, I'll throw it to you first because I sent this to you last week and I was like, you got to rewatch this and give me your thoughts. This is the promo of the week, everyone listening.
Well, if you're going to get that late in the 90s and that doesn't cause a riot, I don't think anything will at that point.
They were on the verge of a riot, but nothing's going to cause a riot at that point.
How good was Cyrus in the background? He was awesome.
Him and Joey Styles were good there Bubba Ray just mother effed everything, and I don't even know where to start with what he said. I mean, he
I just let that stand alone.
Yeah, and, you know, he calls the
he cut that gay. Promo, and now he cut that promo, and now he bangs Velvet Sky. What do you want me to say?
Yeah, I mean, he told a woman. We got a woman in the front row who taught her daughter how to suck dick. I mean, what the fuck?
That's nice.
It's real classy. Opera, what were your thoughts on that?
Thank God, these guys just don't give a fuck.
Zero
fucks given.
Zero were given that
day. Oh. Like, yeah, by whatever. The way, I looked up Tim Horner on Facebook. Think
Me
I should send him a friend request?
Yes. I did. I looked him up too.
Are you serious? Have,
yeah, I'm not gonna say what I want to say.
We have six.
If I'm editing, let's put it this way: if I'm editing myself, when's that ever happened before? These people don't even know half the shit I say that you edit out because you're a pussy. Imagine that if I'm editing myself about what I want to say.
How many mutual friends you got? I had a bunch of mutual friends with them, obviously.
Six, and one of them is a former WWE, you know. Put it this way, he's a former horseman.
Well, so, there you go. That says that. I've got some mutual friends with him, too, when I looked him up. I don't have nothing against the guy. I mean, this isn't...
I don't want to do it because I feel bad now because I'm looking at pictures of him. He's like a family guy. He's like just some old guy you see, you know.
Mike, you called him a chicken fucker.
What?
Doc, we've all called Tim some crazy names on the show because of the promos.
Right, but you're the one that's saying, I don't have anything against him. When did I say that?
I have nothing against Tim. I mean, you know, it's not personal. Shit. He's a freaking pro wrestler, wrestler.
But you just walk around making a habit of calling people chicken fuckers.
I just think even I believe Cornette over him. I believe Cornette over him.
I mean, I do too.
Yeah.
Okay. Then what? Then what's the big deal then?
Chicken fucker.
I mean, I've had to edit some of the things you've called him.
That's true. You edit a lot of things, I say.
Okay then. So let's leave it at that. But this was fun, man. I really enjoyed this show this week. It was a good time all the way from the Dudley Boys to the Saturday Night Show. And heads up, everyone, next week, Saturday night, Doc is another hour episode.
You know what else, pal? We are working. I have been putting together something. We can't tell you guys exactly what it is just yet. I'm going to bring Mike along for this. We got something really big on deck, and I don't oversell anything ever. This is going to be a hell of a good time for you guys, but we can't just exactly tell you who it is right now. More to come.
Yeah, yeah. We got something good happening, something good. It should be a fun time, so more to come, and we're hoping that next week, maybe the week after, we can...
You're welcome.
We can do something. So, you know, sign up and become a patron, because we will... Last time, let me say this. Last time we promised we delivered Jim Cornette. Am I wrong? We also delivered Tracy Smothers. We also delivered Ian Riccoboni. So, we don't deal in, what do you call it, Doc? Hyperbole?
This is a big name. I'm comfortable in saying that this person fits right in with those other names, if not above all of them. And all the people that we've just said we've had on the show would agree that this person fits right in there with them or above them.
Yeah. So good stuff coming. Good stuff coming. That said, again, I want to mention Oklahomania, Saturday, October 7th, Ardmore, Oklahoma. Hardy Murphy Coliseum. Sting is going to be there. John Morrison / Hennigan, whatever name he is going by
Impact.
Now. I'm not trying
Johnny
to be
Impact.
Disrespectful. I'm just saying he goes under a lot of names. Matt Sydal, Chavo Guerrero Jr., Gail Kim, Taya Valkyrie, Vicky Guerrero will be there. The Von Erich boys. Kevin Von Erich is supposed to be there as well, doing a signing. Carlito, many more. That's IWR. Imperial Wrestling Revolution, Oklahomania 2, Saturday, October the 7th, Ardmore, Oklahoma. Hey, check us out on Facebook. It's facebook.com/bookingtheterritory. Click the Shop Now button. If you use the promo code FB5, you can get 5% off right now on our Pro Wrestling Tee store when you click the Shop Now button. Follow us on Twitter at @BTT_podcast. I'm at Mike504Saints. Hardbody Harper's at CJH. Who dat? And I'm trying to think if there's anything else. Check out my friends, the Wrestling Podcast About Nothing, the Kingpin, Brian Malonis, and Mike Crockett on the NAI Network on Mondays, and then their own feed on Thursdays. Just search WPAM wherever you get your podcast from, and you can listen to them. This was a fun show. I really had a good time. Doc and Harper, y'all got anything else before we throw it over to a classic clip from Warbeard Hansen last year talking about Jim Cornette and the first time he worked with him? Anything else, Doc?
Not a goddamn thing.
That's I hear nice. You, Harper. Harper, you got anything you got to plug or what?
I would just like to thank everyone for going on Vimeo and fucking downloading the fucking Wildcat shows. So keep that shit
your
going.
Yeah,
so like all you shitheads that like always message me, how can I watch this if I don't live in New Orleans? Here's your chance. It's fucking $5 a month to subscribe. Fucking $5. That's like 5 cans of spam for y'all.
All right. So go ahead and give the link, Harper.
Vimeo on demand.
Okay.
Fuck.
Yeah. Search Wildcat with a K.
Yeah, search and, Wildcat with the K.
Harper 15.
Harper 15.
There you go. That's what I thought you were about to do when I played the bite. Okay, that's about it. I'm gonna throw it over to myself and Warbeard Hansen to close things out this week, talking a quick soundbite from when he worked with Jim Cornette last year. From Mike and Doc, Harper, hit the tagline and get us over to it.
Book it, bitch.
What was it like working with Cornette at Oklahomania? Was that the first time you've gotten to work
yes.
with him?
Yes, that was awesome. He's a trip. And he loved us, which was great. I was expecting us to mess something up that he didn't like and get one of those old Cornette run up and down you that you hear about from everybody else. But, I guess it's great that he didn't. He really liked us, but I don't know. It might have been a cool story if he had just hated us and yelled and screamed at us. I don't know. But it was awesome. He really liked us, and I mean, that's a good feeling when somebody who's been around the business for such a long time compliments you and puts you over and tells you do a good job and really means it. So that was a really cool experience for us.
Especially somebody like Cornette, who seems to not be afraid to just rip people from limb to limb. It's like his gimmick at this point.
Yeah,
That's cool, man. And I subtly managed you all, and I was like, okay, that's pretty cool. I wonder what it was like when you were first walking up to him, or he's first walking up to you. Are you thinking that? You're like, man, what's he gonna be like? Because you know his kind of track record. Not that he's a bad person, just you know.
Yeah. I mean, I met him once or twice before, but this is the first time we're gonna work with him. I just in the back of my head, the whole time we were even in the ring, I'm like, what are we gonna do that he's gonna lose his mind over? Like, what is it gonna be? And I thought for sure, like I had some miscommunication in the match with Jeff. I thought for sure I'd come out back, and there it was, the reaming, the screaming, and the Jim Cornette that you hear about. But I don't know. I guess I did everything right.
I was
half expecting just the fact that we're from Ring of Honor. That might, you know, I don't know if that was gonna, you know, put red in his eyes from whatever issue he had with Ring of Honor before. That, I mean, me, that was way before me and Ray, so I don't know anything that really went on there, but I know there's obviously a bad taste in his mouth from Ring of Honor, so I was expecting just guilt by association. But no, it was really cool. It was really cool that he didn't yell and scream at us and he liked us. That's that's a cool experience.
Yeah, it's funny you say that, because he is hard on a lot of Ring of Honor guys older Ring of Honor guy. I mean, we don't have to mention who, but he, you know, Goodwill.
Yeah, the ones that were around when he was around. Yeah, I get it.
Yeah,
and,
but you're right.
They all hate each other, so it's fine.
right. But it was interesting, man. I remember thinking to myself. It's just one of the things that crossed my mind when I was there. I was like, okay, so Cornette's gonna manage War Machine tonight. All right, this ought to be interesting. And it was nothing against, you know, I've seen you and, you know, Ray work on TV a bunch of times, and you guys are great. But you're right. I could see why you would say, you know, you're sitting there and something happens. What's the one thing that's gonna happen in this ring tonight that he's not going to be cool with, and he blows a gasket on, right? And
yeah.
He's only been around for 40 years in the business, and you're like, okay, here it comes.
Exactly.
Welcome to World-Class Championship Wrestling from the world-famed Sportatorium here in downtown Dallas, Texas, the most famous wrestling arena in the world. We bring you World-Class Championship Wrestling. I'm Bill Mercer, and great to have you with us wherever you may be throughout the world.